Hi, this is my favourite Elliott Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and thank you for joining us for this episode. Now, I'm particularly excited about today's guest because not only is he a great musician, he's also our first guest from outside the US or the UK. And as an inclusive podcast, we very much welcome views on Elliott Smith from all across the globe. So let me introduce him then. Prateek Kuhad is a singer-songwriter who is currently based in New Delhi in India. Although he grew up in India, he moved to the US after high school to go to New York University, and that's when he really became hooked on Elliott's music. And in this conversation, we talk about that moment he first started listening to Elliott properly, discuss how it's shaped his career, and we also cover his selection for his favourite song too. So here he is. Here's Prateek Kuhad, who spoke to me from New Delhi in India.
I'm Prateek Kuhad. I'm a singer-songwriter and a touring musician. I'm technically based out of India and New Delhi, but end up traveling a bunch and end up spending a lot of time in New York as well. It's actually a really hard question because honestly, Elliott Smith's like one of those artists which, like, you know, pretty much every single song, all his records are incredible. So it's a pretty tough question, but I picked Memory Lane. What strikes out immediately is just the guitar part, just the guitar riff, and like just what he's playing throughout is really, really complex, but really, really nice, and kind of sounds like, I mean, Elliott Smith ends up playing a lot of his like guitar and piano sounds, parts which sound really like effortless and sound simple, but are actually like super complex, and Memory Lane is one of that. I mean, it's just a really beautiful guitar part. And then from then on, it's just, I mean, it's just like a really, really well-constructed song. The words are like, the lyrics are really, lots of really interesting lines, and just what it means in general is very dark and very, lots of like analogies, basically. Very rich analogies. This is the place you end up when you lose the chase, where you're dragged against your will from a basement on the hill. And all anybody knows is you're not like them. And they kick you in the head and send you back to bed. Isolation. I really like the second verse in general a lot. The mayor's name is Fear. His voice patrols the pier from a mountain of cliche that advances every day. And I mean, just the whole imagery of this little house on Memory Lane. An analogy to, and it's also like this record was you know, it's from a basement on a hill, and from on the hill, and like this record I think was pretty much like produced from his literal basement, and I think like this song is like very reminiscent of that whole imagery in general. The whole thing is just like his little house on Memory Lane, but he's actually talking about, like, you know, his own inner demons and his own inner thoughts. I mean, that's at least what it seems like to me. Isolation pulled you past a tunnel to a bright world where you can make a place to stay. But everybody's scared of this place and staying away. Your little house on Memory Lane. And some people say that the song Memory Lane is about an actual time he spent in a psychiatric hospital. Can you see how that interpretation makes sense? Yeah, I've read about that as well. I mean, it's like, again, one of these songs that you end up like Googling and like researching and being like, you know, what's everybody else's interpretation and stuff. And the references to, like, you know, the doctor in like the second verse, and in general, it's so inwards. So where you're dragged against your will from basement on the hill. I mean, there's a lot of lines which would, it's again, it's like such, I don't know. I feel like a lot of this stuff is like you read about it and then it makes sense. But at the same time, it can be like read in so many different ways. It could be just also him battling with his own isolation and feeling that like he's going crazy. I mean, that's just another, you know, interpretation or thought that I had when I was like reading it, versus him actually being in a psychiatric hospital. I mean, all of his songwriting is so rich in imagery and analogies, and there's just so many metaphors that you can take the song to many different places. It doesn't have very specific like
compared to what like a lot of pop songwriting is today, it's very, very specific and obvious, and there's only one possible meaning that can be. It's as simple as that. Like, a lot of his songs are a lot more richer in detail in that sense.
The mayor's name is Fear. His force patrols the pier from a mountain of cliché that advances every day. The doctor spoke a cloud. He rained out loud. You'll keep your doors and windows shut and swear you'll never show a soul again. But isolation pushes you till every muscle aches down the only road it ever takes.
Can you connect to any of the themes in the song on a personal level?
Definitely not anymore. I think I did, go through a pretty down patch in terms of, a lot of the subjects he's talking about in terms of mental illness and stuff. And maybe that's what appealed to me instinctively. I heard like Elliot Smith's music for the first time when I was in college. So I was in New York that time, and I went to college in New York at NYU. And the first time I heard his songs for the next two or three entire semesters, I was pretty much just, looping his records over and over again, like pretty much all, his entire discography. So, and it was definitely like a tough time for me in general, the first year in college, because it was a big transition. I had just moved from India straight to New York. It was one of the first times I was in the US. So it was a big shock for me, like, overall in terms of lifestyle and culture. So maybe it did appeal to me at that time because I was going through a bit of a tougher time myself. But I don't remember like explicitly like going through this particular song, but in general all his music is very healing if you're kind of going through these kind of feelings.
But everybody's scared of this place and staying away. Your little house on memory lane. If it's your decision to be open about yourself, be careful or else. Be careful or else.
I think the first song I heard, which really got my attention, was "Say Yes," which is actually one of his relatively nicer, happier love songs almost. And I think this was one of the first few though as well. Yeah, I think Memory Lane was like soon after, like it was one of the other songs around the same time. And then I really started digging deeper into like the rest of his stuff. Actually, now that I'm just going through like the album list, right, because you brought this up, and Let's Get Lost, I think that might be the first Elliot song I ever heard, but I never like dug into his discography. It was like a mixtape that I had when I was back in high school, like a long time ago, and I hadn't even moved to New York, and that was like the only song I'd ever heard. And then I started I heard CAS and a lot of other stuff. But yeah, King's Crossing is like an insane song. I mean, in terms of like just production and like just how much bigger it is. And a lot of people really associate Elliot's music with just being super acoustic and really minimal, and his vocals are like usually very whispery and soft in most of his songs, and that's how he's kind of like known for, songs like Say Yes and Between the Bars, where but King's Crossing, like I feel like that's like a really underrated song by Elliot Smith as well. It's super intense, it's big, sounds like very different from his other stuff, and it's just again like another like brilliantly written song.
Okay, so you weren't listening to much of Elliot when you were in India then?
Not really, yeah, not at all. I think the only reason I was also introduced to him was because I went to NYU. I really like started listening to him a lot there because one of my first friends at college was a musician as well, and he just like gave me, I mean, there were no streaming services. This is 2008, so I think Spotify had not come, or was just like it was very nascent still, so we were still listening to MP3s. So I got like the entire Elliot Smith discography, and I was kind of listening to MP3s of that back then. So yeah.
And have you been spreading the word about Elliot's music amongst your fan base in India and further afield as well?
Yeah, I do find like people now. I actually did like a short cover of his song, this song called like Whatever, folk song in C. It's on my Instagram. It's like a 1 minute thing, and like a lot of people like really commented on it. And I think like there's definitely a small community of people in India who listen to contemporary folk music, which is sort of like maybe one broad category you can put Elliott Smith in, you know, along with like some of his contemporaries from that time. And there's a lot of people who like listening to really chill, relaxed acoustic music, but actually don't personally know a single, like I don't personally know too many Elliott Smith fans in that sense, even in the music community for that matter in India.
I'm comfortable apart, it's all written on my chart, and I take what's given me most cooperatively. I do what people say and lie in bed all day, absolutely horrified. I hope you're satisfied. Isolation.
I mean, I just think he's one of the biggest influences on my songwriting out of everybody else I heard. I mean, all through like, and like I said, the first time I actually heard Elliott Smith in depth was around college. And that's it's soon after when I started writing a lot as well. I was writing a little bit in high school when I was 16, 17 as well. But a lot of my influence back then were mostly a lot of classic rock. And, you know, people like John Mayer and Jack Johnson was a big influence. A lot of music from India, like from Indian films, from like independent artists in India. So there was a lot of that. But I think I really started valuing and understanding songwriting, not just being a musician, but actually being a songwriter from after listening to Elliott Smith. Like it's, that's when I actually really started thinking about songs and song structures and how songs are written and like the importance of words and, you know, kind of just like, because the cool thing about Elliott Smith also was that apart from being a good writer, he was also like an incredible musician and an incredible producer. So all of his stuff like is not just good songs that you can listen to that are nice, but they're just also written very uniquely. Like to me, actually, I think historically to me, like two songwriters that really, really stand out are Elliott Smith and Kurt Cobain is the other one. And I think both of them are kind of similar in terms of their writing style, where like they're really simple melodies. They're really melodies that you can remember that are really pleasant and nice, but the lyrics, you know, the words tell a different story a lot of times. The words are really, really complex. And harmonically, like, their music is really, really complex. Like, harmonically, Elliott Smith, like, goes into, you know, chord structures and, you know, just, like, chord changes, which are just very, very unique. And they're not, like, anything written around his time or even today or before for that matter. You know, it's not like you can really put it into a category and call it like, or a genre and call it like rock or blues or jazz, which all have their like very specific chord changes and harmonic movements. And Elliott Smith just like totally stands out and just kind of did his own thing, which is super unique and super cool.
Isolation pushes past self-hatred, guilt and shame to a place where suffering is just a game.
I mean, I speak about like him as a major influence in pretty much all my interviews because, and I mean, you know, I mean, I've listened to so much other music and obviously there's so many other musicians I respect and look up to, but like, I still keep going back to even today, like, I'm not literally today, but in general, even these days, and I don't listen to his music as regularly as I did back then. But even now, like every once in a while where I need like music to go back to just personally for emotional, like my own emotional fulfillment, like just to go back and listen to stuff that I really like, not as a musician, not as a songwriter. It's still like my comfort zone. It's still like my kind of like comfort food in that sense when I go listen to like Elliott's song. So yeah, definitely like a very special place for me.
But everybody's scared of this place and staying away. Your little house on memory lane. Your little house on memory lane.
Thanks to Pratik for taking part in the podcast. We very much enjoyed having him on. And of course, please do check out his music if you're not familiar with it already. Following on from Pratik, we're going to do a listener favourite song pick now. And normally, we do try and link them to the main selection in some way. But for this one, when I was looking through all the selections we'd received, one message really stuck out. It was from someone called Valerie Smith from Portland, Oregon, who said her favourite song pick just wasn't getting enough love on the podcast. And as we're nearing the end of our second series, I have to say I kind of agreed. So to Valerie and to those of you out there who've been missing out on this particular choice, this one's for you.
My name's Valerie Smith, and the song I'm choosing as my favourite Elliott Smith song is Single File, a companion piece to Needle in the Hay, which is also on the album Elliot Smith. Both are about recovering addicts and both include the phrase, "You idiot kid," with Single File probably being best known for the line, "Your arm's got a death in it." This was quintessential early Elliot Smith, using drug addiction as a symbol of dependence, as a symbol of the outsider, the person who doesn't, and doesn't really want to, fit in with society. The title refers to the line at a methadone clinic, and there's this idea that by taking the meds, by getting over the addiction, this person will lose something essential. Elliot sings, "If you're choking up, take this paper cup, but there's a price that you'll pay for trying hard to become whatever they are and say whatever they say." Elliot seems to be saying that the addict may live, but he'll be killing off part of himself in the process, and it's not so clear from either the lyrics or the music that the price of getting clean is worth it. It's the electric guitar, played by his old Heat Miser bandmate and best friend Neil Gust, that makes the song for me. It's a plaintive sound that runs throughout, the washing line that the rest of the song hangs from. While Elliot's rhythmic strumming evokes the physical, the monotony of a single-file line, Gust's guitar indicates something spiritual. It's a lonely sound, the sound of a soul who knows that they lose whatever decision they make. My favorite line is, "And looking at you, all I see is, you're waiting for something." It's so Elliot to me to sing something so specific yet multi-layered. I moved from New York City to Portland in 1997, almost the same time that Elliot himself moved to New York, and had lived in the neighborhood he describes in St. Ide's Heaven almost that whole time. There's something about the bleakness of Single File that reminds me of Portland in the 1990s, which was also a little down on its luck. But the presence of his close friend, Neil Gust, on this song reminds me of the best of Portland, offering a kind of warmth and companionship that isn't easy to come by in many other cities. Elliot's presence in Portland is still strong, if you know where to look. This past summer, a stencil of Elliot showed up on the back of street signs and sides of telephone poles, while a sign on Southeast 6th and Powell, a site referenced to Needle in the Hay, has been spray-painted with a heart and the word Elliot written in red over a black background. Whoever's doing these signs, I just want to take this moment to say thanks. Thanks for keeping his legacy alive in the town that loved him the most.
And that brings us pretty much to the end of this episode. Thanks again to our guests, Prateek Kuhad and Valerie Smith. Thank you to Elizabeth Wood-Stanley for producing this podcast with me. And thank you very much for listening to it. We'll be back with a new episode very soon. See you then.